All right. Here we go. Wow. It's been a cool minute. It has been a cool minute. Man, oh man. Welcome back to an exciting episode of Late for the Party, the show on Anchor FM. Also, I'm doing a YouTube channel. I'm also doing all my YouTube as well. So it's a little simultaneous action. If you could check out, if you can't check out the live, you can always go on and check out Anchor FM as well. You can also listen to it for your podcasting pleasure. We are on all listening platforms. Also, you can check out all the cool Late for the Party merch on teespring.com or spring.com, however they're calling it nowadays. But let's get into it real quick, shall we? Because honestly, I wanted to get involved in talking about a quick fire review that I was watching pretty much I was actually watching Dragon Ball Super Superhero. And I must say, definitely is probably one of my favorite films, hands down. Not only that it's doing very good in the box office. I mean, it wound up doing better than Beast. I don't know if it did precisely better than Broly. But honestly, I feel like it's actually kind of low-key gotten to be one of my favorite movies thus far of the Dragon Ball franchise. Now, granted, Broly was dope, but when you watch Broly over time, it kind of gets a little repetitive a little bit due to the fact that, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, nothing's wrong with nonstop action, and I mean, considering the fact this is, like, Dragon Ball, but when it comes down to it, when it's just the Saiyans, when it's all about mainly the Saiyans, you know, all they want to do is fight, and nothing's wrong with that. But when it finally got to Broly versus Gogeta, thing to me, like, the fight kind of went on just a little too long. And I mean, nothing's wrong with that, but it got on a little too long, but for what it was worth at the time. But when you compare notes to how Dragon Ball Superhero is, I mean, it's more of a fleshed out story. And pretty much it's not just focusing on the Saiyans. I mean, it's basically Dragon Ball Superhero is basically a Piccolo and Gohan story. I mean, in anything, Piccolo kind of takes the vocal point, takes center stage, and is mainly circled around him. And honestly, that's probably one of the things that we haven't gotten in Dragon Ball since, what? I want to say, like, the Saiyan Saga? I mean, or, like, the Frieza Saga? I mean, where it's not just circle, like, centered around. I mean, look, I'm going to be 100% honest. Let's just say, like, after the Cell Saga, then it just mainly became, after the Cell Saga, it just mainly became, like, the Goku and Vegeta show. To where it's, like, you know, transformations didn't mean anything. I mean, all the new and improved stuff that they were doing, people like Piccolo and Gohan, who were very pivotal in, like, the Cell Saga and whatnot, or, like, in the earlier sagas, were more or less taking a back seat for, like, Vegeta and Goku, like, for Goku and Vegeta. And, you know, for somebody like Piccolo, who to me, honestly, is probably one of the most should be one of the most powerful characters in Dragon Ball, hands down, considering the fact that the variety of powers that he does have, and that he could literally train just by meditating, and, you know, it would be it kind of did a disservice to him. I mean, I'm glad that they did what they did in this movie. They gave him a power boost. They wound up making him more, I mean, stronger, showing abilities that he ain't done in quite a while, like turning into a giant size, you know. And honestly, I feel that was probably the cool part. That, but I mean, mainly his main focus at the time, and I mean, and the cool part about Piccolo is probably, not even probably, it's just the fact that he's a strategist. Like, he strategizes on everything. I mean, keep in mind, he was a villain at one point. Well, I mean, if you're honest with yourself, everybody in Dragon Ball was a villain. I mean, even from folks like Yamcha and Tien, the only person who wasn't really a villain but was a rival to Goku was Krillin. So, I mean, if you're really 100% honest with yourself, everybody was technically a villain, and Piccolo is probably one of the biggest villains that Goku was going up against at the time of Dragon Ball. So even though this is a different variation of Piccolo, because if we were talking about King Piccolo, then it's one thing, but then, you know, with fusion and everything, Kami and Nail and whatnot, so this version of Piccolo is a little bit more different, a little bit more subtle. You know, but honestly, I feel like the movie was actually cool. I didn't mind it at all. I mean, first we're introduced to Dr. Hedo. We find out that Dr. Hedo is the grandson of Dr. Gero and Android 21. We also see the lineage of how Dr. Gero and Android 21 had Android 16. Something happened to Android 16. Well, the original, well, before he turned into an Android, Android 16 got turned into an Android. And, you know, pretty much we find out that Dr. Gero wasn't really a villain. He was just working for the Red Ribbon Army. And then they kind of, like, with miscommunication, kind of made it more like Goku's the evil one, he's the villain of the story and whatnot. Well, I mean, after what Goku did to the Red Ribbon Army, and I mean, I'm pretty sure there was some casualties that happened that, you know, a lot of people who I wouldn't say were innocent, but there was a lot of people when Goku went on that rampage in the Red Ribbon Army's base and, like, kind of took out more than a few things that he should have. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people in that show literally got killed, a casualty of war. A lot of people who were probably casualties of war, and probably Android 16 was probably a recipient of that. So, but that was cool. I wasn't mad at that at all. I also liked Pan. Pan was actually cool. You know, this was a time jump as well. So the time jump happened like after the tournament of power. Then we wound up going into the Moro arc, the Granola arc, and I think the Black Frieza arc. I'm not sure about the Black Frieza arc just yet. I'm just starting to find out about all this stuff that's going on in the manga, but I know Superhero kind of takes place after those three arcs. So, I mean, well, these three sagas, let's just call them sagas. So, with that, you know, Piccolo has been training Pan. Pan is a little older now. She's like 3 years old. So that makes it it's a little bit more appropriate to say it that way, that this is like three sagas after the tournament of power, basically. So pretty much after the Broly then this wound up going down. So we're experiencing, like, you see in Piccolo training Pan, he's training her. Pretty much she's in preschool. You know, he's doing his thing. It's refreshing to see it's not just the Goku and Vegeta show. I'm happy about that, you know? We finally get something that we've been kind of longing for quite some time. I mean, if you're really hot, if you're really honest with yourself, you know, I actually wanted this for quite some time to see like more story and more stuff going on with the other people, with the other cast, because like once you start going into different power levels and different, oh, damn, the ice maker still got to get used to that thing. You know, when you're seeing all these things that's going on with these characters, they take in the back, and like at one point, these cats were one of the most powerful people who was rivaling Goku at one point. And now, for somebody like Piccolo, especially, who was a Super Namek, who's somebody who is in connection with the Dragon Balls in general, like, you know, at one point when he was Kami, if anything happened to him, there would be no more Dragon Balls. So, but, I mean, we're seeing a lot of stuff that was going down. We see Dende. It was cool seeing him in there. I'm tired of seeing Bulma. And that's another thing that I'm kind of sick and tired of. That if Bulma is just utilizing the Dragon Balls for her own personal gain, that's a little fucked up. Sorry for cussing, but honestly, I feel like, you know, she's just using it for cosmetic. I love how Piccolo said, you're just doing this for cosmetic surgeries and whatnot. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got a husband who never really ages, but I mean, sucks to be you. I mean, you're human. I mean, unless you turn yourself into, I mean, you might as well just wish yourself to be a Saiyan. But I mean, hey. Either way, I digress from my point on that aspect. But, I mean, it's a good, refreshing story. You see that Dr. Hedo is being introduced to Mr. Magenta, who is also the son of Commander Red at the of the Red Ribbon Army. So, he's linking up with him so they can get revenge on Goku. And they're bringing it, they're rebuilding Cell Max, but then also, you know, Dr. Hedo already has his androids, Gamma 1 and Gamma 2, but instead of just being, like, evil and maniacal, kind of like how Dr. Gero's androids were, you know, Dr. Hedo's androids, Gamma 1 and Gamma 2, they're more on a superhero theme. And honestly, I feel like these characters, honestly, definitely show promise of, like, being dope characters. Honestly, I've really thought that, like, I didn't really think I would have been, like, actually liking the, Gamma 2 was dope as hell. Probably because he was probably more vocal than Gamma 1. Gamma 1 is more stoic. Like, he's more stoic and he's just, like, more serious about things. While Gamma 2, he's more of the brash, the hothead, you know, the funny, like, you know, he has more, he was more vocal than the Gamma 1. But, and I love how when Piccolo was fighting Gamma 2, you actually see Piccolo actually, you see, like, how come I could see his sound effects? That was cool. Like, like the sound effects that was going on when Gamma 2 would actually hit Piccolo or anything. He was like, how come I could see his sound effects? That was actually kind of refreshed. It was kind of cool that he was, like, somewhat breaking the fourth wall. Not breaking the fourth wall, I'm sorry. But it was more like he was just like, how come I could see this dude hitting me and it's making the look of a comic book? You know, that was actually kind of smooth. But, you know, and then we get introduced to Piccolo trying to see about Gohan being trained again. And Gohan is just, you know, all in the books and whatnot. I know I'm kind of all over the place, but trying to, like, make sure nobody, if I'm not trying to do any too much spoilers, but, I mean, honestly, if you ain't seen the movie by now, it's actually, you know, it should be getting ready to go on Crunchyroll or even Hulu or something pretty soon, but, I mean, this was actually dope. I mean, we're starting to see and how the whole thing where Gohan is trying to get how Piccolo's trying to get Gohan back into training again. You know, a lot of people might felt some kind of way about that, but honestly, I feel like this. If it was somebody like Krillin or anybody doing something like that, but this is Piccolo, you know what I'm saying? Piccolo is not human. Piccolo was a former villain. So, I mean, he's still trying to get comfortable with being, you know, he's trying to get comfortable being in the customs of being around humans or Saiyans or whatnot. So, I mean, he's to himself. He's always been a loner. But now since, you know, Gohan and now Pan has been in his life and now he's a part of the family. So, I mean, pretty much Piccolo's Gohan's dad, you know. I mean, honestly, Piccolo has probably been more in... Piccolo has been in Gohan's life more than, honestly, I say Goku. And that's being real. That is being real. And I mean, to not take away anything from Goku, but honestly, like, when it comes down to Gohan, that's why Gohan always wants to fight his dad so goddamn much, because it's like, nah, I bet money he's probably like, you know, you left me hanging in the trenches and everything. I get it when Uncle Raditz, you know, pretty much killed you. Well, he didn't kill him, but when you pretty much got killed in the process and then you disappeared for about like 1 year and here I am 4 years old sitting there training with your mortal enemy at one point and you know now he's grown to actually like him. So and every time I even say this and I argue with this in court, it's like how many times have Goku sacrificed his life for his son? And everybody stop making that fucking excuse about, oh, well, he did it in Cell, the Cell Saga. He saved the world and all that. True. But that doesn't count. I said, how many times has Goku sacrificed his life for his son? For his son. How many times has Piccolo sacrificed his life for Gohan? I'll wait for that answer. Y'all can hit me up in the comments, but I can guarantee you Goku will lose that fight. But it's a good feeling. It's actually a good feeling to see, like, you know, like, honestly, it's a good feeling to see that Gohan is finally come back to being... Gohan is finally coming back to being the Gohan that we've been waiting for since the Buu saga, you know? And it's a shame that it took this fucking long to get to this point. I mean, honestly, like, pretty much Gohan should be his own man away from being being his dad. I mean, and it's weird to me that Gohan would wear the garbs, like, honestly, and I'm glad that, you know, Gohan shouldn't be wearing the garbs of Goku, honestly, because, like, you weren't really trained by your dad like that. The only time you really trained with your father was during the Cell Saga, but half the time, you guys were literally fighting each other and eating. And then, you know, don't get me wrong, I like that little training montage between Gohan and Goku and Piccolo training Gohan in the process, that was actually kind of fire. I ain't gonna front. That's why I still say, like, hands down, I think the Cell Saga is probably one of the best. Well, I wouldn't say one of the best. Well, for Gohan in general, yes. It was definitely one of the best moments for Gohan. You know? Like, the only moment where Gohan technically took center stage and should have ran with it since then, you know? But, of course, you know, a lot of politics and everything like that. And everybody was like, oh, no, Gohan isn't the guy. But honestly, he should have been the guy. And it was more fan service than anything else. But honestly, it's like, this is the... Gohan has always been one of my favorite characters, hands down. Like, this is the guy that we literally grew up with while we were kids, watching this all the way up to him being an adult. We literally grew up with Gohan, you know, so we can resonate more with Gohan than we could say with Goku. At least with Gohan, he's actually a human being, you know? And that's another thing, too. It's like, with all the half-sayings and whatnot, Gohan is the chosen one. He was the one who was supposed to surpass his father. I mean, come on. He's the half-Saiyan. He's the only half-Saiyan who actually had a tail. Trunks never had a tail. Goten never had a tail. Pan never had a tail. Hell, even Broad never even had a tail. But Gohan did. What happened? You know? But to actually see Gohan start coming back into his former glory, it was a good feeling. For it to be somewhat fan service to some degree, but I wouldn't say it was fan service in that aspect. But just by the time he got to his transformation is one thing. But I mean, I like his beast mode. I call it beast mode Gohan. All that Gohan beast. No, I call him Gohan beast mode. That's my theme for him right now. But which was dope. I'm not even gonna cap. Now, the only thing I could probably take away to some degree with the story itself is the fact of Cell Max. Considering the fact that the Red Ribbon Army was trying to bring back Cell to get revenge on Goku and the gang. But I feel like for what they were doing with Cell Max, I mean, he was not the Cell that we wanted, but honestly, I didn't even want another version. Like, that's the thing, is like, we don't really want a repeat of, oh yeah, we're getting a new villain. I mean, we're getting a villain back from the dead, because we already had Frieza. Frieza's been in, what, two movies since? He's been in, what, his own Resurrection F, and then he was probably one of the main antagonists in Broly. But, you know, nobody really wanted to see another Cell coming back to get his revenge. Ha ha! No, he didn't want to do all that. I mean, I'm okay with what they did. Maybe I wish Cell Max wasn't, like, in his... It obviously was his second form, because if it was... Even in the movie, they said that he wasn't finished when Magenta actually reactivated him. And then also, he was still kind of in his mindless form. All he was doing, all Cell Max was doing, was growling and roaring and whatnot. So it wasn't like he was really doing anything else other than that. But, I mean, he was powerful enough to sit there and go through the gammas and whatnot. And that was cool. I mean, I still would have probably felt better. I honestly thought the gammas would have been the bad guys and whatnot. But how it was being portrayed and whatnot, how the Gammas felt that they were superheroes, I already felt like they were already going to, like, take that away. Or I thought that the Gammas probably would have got absorbed. That's what I was thinking. I thought the Gammas was going to get absorbed by Cell Max, and they would have done something like a perfect Cell, a perfect Cell Max. To me, I feel this was like imperfect Cell Max, in which pretty much it was an imperfect Cell. So, but shit, kind of fell in the background here. Hold up. Don't fall. I got you. I got you. There we go. technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Bear with me. There we go. Now we got that back to normal. Let's get back to it. So, but honestly, I feel like if anything, when it comes down to Dragon Ball superhero, I mean, it wound up in it was a great movie. Like, I'm kind of keeping everything kind of discreet what I'm talking about, but I don't want to spoil too much because honestly, I've probably said enough, but honestly, I feel this was a very good movie. It was hands down one of my favorite Dragon Ball films, honestly. And everybody would say Broly was dope, but once you watch Broly a handful of times, it gets a little repetitive with the action, how far, like, the fights go. I mean, the CGI in this film, it was a lot compared to what most DBZ films are. I mean, it was very rare to see it in 3D. But for what it was worth, I mean, for what they were doing with it, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all. I get props for what they were doing with it. And I'm actually not mad at that. I was just more the fact that, like, they could have fleshed out Cell Max more as a villain, as one of the main protagonists, well, as a protagonist, and maybe would have gotten him to, like, perfect form. And seeing what that would have been like in case if they would have did anything with that, rather than it just being a mindless shell of him. Maybe give him some more vocal, make him more vocal than him just roar and all that stuff. But ultimately, we saw some good things. I'm actually happy that a lot of people got some shine that haven't seen in quite a while. So either way. But for this review, I'm actually going to give this a solid 9.5. Honestly, I feel like this was a solid 9.5. And I even think I gave Broly a solid 9.5 as well. So, I mean, it wasn't perfect. No pun intended. It wasn't perfect like Cell, but it was still good in its own way. So, honestly, this is the final episode of season 3 of Late for the Party, the show, on season 3, episode 13. I might do an auxiliary episode after this, so bear with me. I'm going to talk about some other things maybe on later on, but either way, I wanted to say that just to let that be known, you guys. So please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support the podcast. Also, check out all the cool Late for the Party merch on teespring.com. You can also check me out on TikTok and all my other social media. Hit those likes, comment, share, subscribe, tell a friend, tell a foe, let everybody know about Late for the Party, the show. Here we go. So, I am your host, Melodious, aka Cubba Boy, the Modern Marvel, also known as the Mad King, Harry LaBrea, signing off, you guys. And as always, if you're going to be late for the party, you're always on time.